And we're holding on Vav Amar Aleph, top line. The Mishnah had said, after it listed the four Ovis Nezikin, and after it mentioned Loi Harei this Karei that, meaning that everyone, as we learned yesterday, has unique features that make it that we can't really learn one of them from another, or even we said we can't learn most of them from a combination of two of them, although we said yesterday that Rava had pointed out that, that if you combine together Bur with one other one, then you could learn out most of them. Anyway, after the Mishnah had gone through all of that, it said, Atzada Shavu Shebehen, they all have in common, Shedarkan Lahazik, that all of them commonly cause damage, all of them are things that regularly cause damage, or Shmirasan Alecha, and therefore you're obligated to guard them and prevent them from damaging, and then if they do damage, then you're hired to pay. So when we say Atzada Shavu Shebehen, the Gemara asks, Lasuyin Mai. What is that coming to include? In other words, in the sense that once the Mishnah has mentioned that point, that all of them have, that each of them has a unique feature, and then it says, Hatzada Shabbat 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 Lahazik, implies there are other kinds of things that Darkan Lahazik, and also they have that in common with this, that Shemirasin Alecha, that you're required to guard them. So what is an example of something like that, something else that's not in the category of one of these four things, and still is Darkan Lahazik or Shemirasin Alecha? So Amar Abaye Lasuya Avne Sakine Masoi She Nichan Barosh Gagle Vnaflu Lasuya Avne Sakine Masoi. It comes to include a rock or a knife or a load. She Nichan Barosh Gagle. A person put them on top of his roof. Vnaflu Beruach Mitsuya. They fell down in a normal wind. Vehiziku and they caused damage. So if it was a non-normal wind, and you couldn't expect it to come. We're not talking about, let's say, for example, that there's a hurricane forecast and you still left it out, but we're talking about where you had no way of knowing that all of a sudden a strong gust of wind is going to come, then fine, you can call that an onus and your potter. But when you have, you put them on the roof and they fell down in a normal wind, so then we say a person will be chayav for such a thing if they caused damage. Rashi uses the expression over there that Rashi uses the expression over here that they fell down and they injured a shur or a chamur. Why Rashi mentions that point rather than just saying that it caused damage in general. You could have, let's say, for example, later Rashi is going to mention that point of Shur and Chamur later on when we talk about another possibility. But anyway, the point is that, so now you have the Avne Sakini Masoi fell down off the roof, and caused damage to a person or to something or whatever. So we're saying, so that wouldn't necessarily be included in what the Mishnah says. Well, the Gemara says, why not? Hey, Chidami, what exactly is the scenario? If these things cause damage as they're falling, so the rock falls on somebody and on a person and bangs them in the head, or it falls on an animal and injures it, then you shouldn't consider it a separate kind of thing, and that's basically a subset, that's a tolda of Eish. Because after all, let's consider. What is unique about Eish? We said before that you have a different power mixed in, namely, unlike all the other Ovis Malachas, which happen on their own, Eish requires wind in order to make it happen, in order to make it spread. And the Eish itself is your mammon. Okay, strictly speaking, we learned the other day, Tosfos says the Eish doesn't have to be your mammon in order for you to be chayev, but practically speaking, it often is. Ushmirase Alecha. And you're responsible to guard it. Well, hani nami. Well, the same thing with the rock or the knife, etc. Koyach hacham or behen. There's another koyach involved. If there hadn't been the wind, they would have stayed up out there on the roof, and nobody would have been harmed by them. Now they fell off because the wind knocked them down. So you have koyach hacham or behen. Oma moincha. They're your property. Ushmirah sayalecha, and you're responsible to guard them. So why should we have to say that the Mishnah is implying by using the words atzada shavu shebehen shedarkan lahazik or shmirasan alecha, that it's including that kind of thing. We don't need that. We already established that all the others of our Mishnah have told us, and Eish is one of the others, hever, as the Mishnah had called it, burning, and this would be a tolda of it. the elabusa denaihi. So are you talking about that they cause damage after they fall on the ground? So after they, so you're not talking about the rock didn't hit somebody on the way down, but now it's lying there in the street next to your house, and now somebody, and now somebody trips over it and gets injured. Well, then it depends. We talked about the other day, and we're going to talk about it in more detail in the third paragraph. Suppose a person leaves, suppose something leaves some kind of obstacle in the road, and then he's master it. So you have a machlokas, so actually you have a machlokas if he wasn't master it, what happens? So if he's master it, then we learned the other day, and we're going to learn more in the third paragraph, that definitely would be like a burr. And if not, then you have a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, whether it counts as burr or whether it counts as something else. So idafkirenu. So if after the rock or the knife or whatever fell down, you were master it, and therefore you didn't take it away, and therefore somebody ended up tripping over it. Then bein l'Rav bein l'Shmuel haynu burr. Well, wouldn't that be exactly both appointed Rav and Shmuel? They were arguing about if he wasn't master it. But if he was master it, both Rav and Shmuel would agree that is a tolda of burr. And therefore he's going to be chayev for that, in the sense that maishna burr, because after all, what's unique about burr? Shekein tchilas asiyasi l'nezek, to begin with, it's made in a way that can cause damage, because unlike all the other, we learned this before, unlike all the other avos malachos, an animal habitually eats, fine, but it's not first created for nezek. And the same thing with keren, and the same thing with regal and the rest of them. But when it comes to a burr, to begin with, you're making a burr in the shosarabim, and to begin with, it was made for nezek. It's something that you have to realize. It's something that an animal is going to be prone to fall into if it's not paying attention, and therefore you have to cover that burr. And the burr is your mammon. Again, strictly speaking, it doesn't exactly have to be your mammon. Here we're saying you were master it, or even if to begin with, when you dug it, it was in Rosh Hashanah and it was Hefker, but the point is you were involved in making it, Ushmirasin Alacha, and you're responsible to guard it, Haninami. Well, you could say the same thing with the rock or the knife, etc. To begin with, when they fall down, the Ruach Mitzuya, and they're lying there in the street, to begin with, they're a hazard that can cause a nezek, Umamoincha, and it's your moment, or it was until you were master it, Ushmirasin Alacha, and therefore you're responsible to guard it. So that being the case then, so it would be exactly burr. So there'd be no reason for the Mishnah to have to include it with this extra phrase, atzad ha-shavah shebehem. Ela deloy achterinu. So we have to say, okay, well, maybe you're talking about the knife or whatever fell down and you were not machter it. So now, now you have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel on that subject. If you leave a hazard in Rosh Hashanah and you're not machter it, on what grounds are you chayav? Is it burr or is it something else? Well, the Shmuel d'alma kulam burr l'manu haynu burr. At least according to Shmuel, since he says that regardless whether you were mafkir or not, he says you learn from burr that it's chayav, whereas Rav says that not. The difference is a burr is hefker because you dug it in Rosh Hashanah, which doesn't belong to you in the first place. Therefore, Rav holds that the paradigm, the initial example of burr, has to be something which doesn't belong to you. So Shmuel says it doesn't matter whether you were machzor or not. Either way, we learn from burr. And Rav, on the other hand, argues that no, if you're not machzor it, then it's your mammon, and therefore it would be similar to shur, or similar to some other avnezikim. In any case, so according to Shmuel, that we learn them from burr, then again, haynu burr. Then isn't it exactly burr? Because according to him, it doesn't matter whether you were machzor it or not. So what is the scenario that Abaya is telling us? You have this case of Avnei Sakinin Masoi that you put on top of your roof, and they fell down the Ruach Mitzuya, and they caused damage. We seem to have covered all the possibilities, whether it caused damage while it was falling, whether it caused damage after it's already lying there in the street. And we seem to have covered everything, no matter what. It seems to be covered by one particular Av, either H, as if it damaged while it's falling, or burr if it's sitting over there. So what does the Mishnah mean? That you have to have a type of nezek that you need, that you need a combination of two of them to learn out that it would be, that that you'd be chayim. And the answer is la'olam da'afkarinu. In fact, we can be talking about where you were after them. V'loy damu l'bur, yet you could argue that after all, this avnei sakinei masoi are not exactly like a bur. Because malabur came in koyach hacham oraboy. Because again, when it comes to a bur, what, how did the bur come to be? There was no other koyach involved. You went and dug the bur, and now it's a hazard over there, and an animal might fall into it. So how would you compare to the Avnei Sakinei Masoi? How does it get there in the first place? You didn't put it in Rishos Rabim. It fell down from your roof into Rishos Rabim. So you could argue it's not completely, so you could argue it's not completely like birth. So then you would say, well, then you would say, in that case, then prove to the contrary from fire. With fire, you have koyach hacham oraboy and you chayev. So therefore, just because you have koyach hacham oraboy is not a reason to exempt. But then the question would be, the fact is, fire normally moves around and causes damage. After all, fire moves around and causes damage. Here, the damage that's being caused by the Avnei Sakinei Masoi lying there in Rishos Rabim is not something that moves around. It stays in one place and it causes damage because it's a hazard in the road. So then you would say, Bur Techiah. Then you would say, well, you can prove from Bur, which is exactly the case, where Bur is Chayev, the Chazer Adin, and therefore you'd go back and forth, and you'd say, in other words, so how would you know that if this Avnei Sakinei Masoi of yours are lying in Rishos Rabim, having previously fallen off your roof, how would you know that you Chayev, if an animal trips over it and gets injured, you would learn that from a combination of Bur and H. You would say it's not exclusively like Bur, but it is mostly like Bur, but it's not exclusively because it came about through koyach hacher. So you need to invoke Eish where there's koyach hacher and you still chayev. And then Atzada Shavah Shebehem, they both have this in common, that they're both your mumun and they're both your mumun and Shmiras Alecha. In this connection there is an interesting machlokas we showed him. Now we learned yesterday that each of the four Ovis Nezikin has unique dinim that don't apply to the others. We said as far as Bur, for example, you're only chayev if an animal falls in there, not if Kalim or a person fall in there. We said as far as Eish, you're potter for Tumul, if something is hidden. If you had, for example, a haystack that was set on fire and inside it were Kalim or something. So now there's an interesting machloikas. When we're saying over here that this thing, this Avnei Sakinei Masoi, you're going to be chayev only because of a combination of Eish and Bur, does that mean that it would have the dinim of both of them? So therefore you'd be potter for Kalim as well as you'd be potter for Tamun. Or would we say so say for example you had a box in Rishos Rabim that got damaged by this thing, you would say that so Kalim would be potter in general, and then you'd also say, let's say there's something let's say you also have a case where an animal trips over it and there's something tumun inside the animal. I don't know, let's say the animal previously swallowed something and whatever. Anyway, so maybe not. Different Rishonim discuss that. The fact is we are saying you need to learn from both of them. On the other hand, we're saying primarily it is a type of bur. We're saying only as far as that little detail, the fact that koyach hacham oraboy, do we need to invoke H. So maybe we should consider it basically like bur. So fine, you'll have a ptur for Kalim, but not necessarily are you going to be potter for Tomon, because for the most part, you're not learning from Eish. You're only bringing in Eish as kind of a side point to deal with that matter of Koyach HaChama Oraboy. So it's a machlokas on that topic.
Also, because you see differences in each one, so that is, could you say, oh, if I would learn
from... Well, that's what we said yesterday, because that's why we needed to list out the Ovis Nezikin, even though, as Rava had said, we could have had Bur plus one other one, and we would have learned all of them from that, but nevertheless, we still listed all of them because each one lehuchaseihen. But now we're talking about, again, when the Mishnah had said, Sada Shavah Shebehen, there's something in common between all these Ovis Nezikin, and from that we can learn out other things that are not implied in the Mishnah, and now we have this example of Avnei Sakinei Masoi, so we're saying, basically, it's Bur, but we also need to invoke Eish in order to learn it out. Otherwise, we would have said we can't learn it exclusively from Bur. So we would still say that, according to many Rishonim, that basically it is like Bur in the sense that the dinim of Bur rather than of Eish will apply to it. Okay. Rava Omar. Rava says here is another possibility. Tosfos, by the way, points out that you also have that there's another difference as well between Bur and Eish, namely Mice of Gor and between these Avnes Akinya Masoi, Mice of Gor Muloi. When it comes to Eish, you can talk about you lighting the fire. Is that considered that your Mice caused the damage, or is it no, because the wind came and blew it, did the damage happen? So depending on how we look at that, then we could also, that would affect this discussion over here as well. You could say, for example, that when it comes to Bur, you could say Mice of Gor Muloi, you dug the Bur, therefore you created the hazard. And the same thing over here with Avnei Sakinu Masoi, when it comes to Avnei Sakinu Masoi, you could argue in that sense they're more like fire. Your Mice did not directly cause that this rock is now lying in Rosh Hashanah, because it took the wind to move it there. Without the wind, it never would have stayed on top of your roof.
The stone fell,
but we're talking about it didn't just fall because of gravity, it fell because the wind pushed it off the roof. So that would be similar to you lighting a fire and then the wind pushing it and causing damage. So, here we're talking about a normal wind, but the point is, in other words, that Tosfos says that if we take that view, that fire is not considered Mice of Gor Muloi because it's not exclusively his Mice, then the Gemara could have pointed that out over here. But when we're saying Koyach Hacham Uravoy is a stronger thing. Because then we don't, if we said Mice of Gor Muloi, then we also have to bring in Shur and discuss by Shur it's also not Mice of Gor Muloi and yet you chayav. By saying Koyach Hacham Uravoy, we can limit ourselves to discussing only Eish and Bur, where Bur is, there's no Koyach Hacham Uravoy and Eish there is. Alright. Rava Amar, Rava says, here's another possibility. Here's another thing the Mishnah can be implying that we're including is a burr that rolls around with people's feet or with animals' feet. So in other words, not like a bias example where you have something that was on your roof and then a wind knocked it down and now it became a burr. Rather, you're talking about something that to begin with you put in Rosh Hashanah. So you created a burr over there. However, then it didn't stay where it was. People or animals kicked it around as they were walking and eventually it went someplace else and there is where it caused damage. So now it's not exclusively your mice. Now, by the way, many of the Rishonim say, we're not necessarily Abaya and Rava and the other Amiroyim we're going to bring over here are not necessarily disagreeing in Halacha. Rava will agree that in Abaya's scenario, a person is Chayav, the person who put the Avnei Sakinu Masori on his roof. Abaya will agree that this case of Bura Misgalgal would be somebody is going to be Chayav. We'll talk about soon. Tosfos talks about who exactly is going to be Chayav. On the face of it, you put it there, but on the other hand, somebody else brought it to someplace else, so maybe that other person should be Chayav, at least for a certain extent. We'll talk about that soon, what Tosfos has to say on it. But anyway, the point is, they're not necessarily disagreeing with each other on the Halacha. They're just saying, each one, when the Mishnah is saying, what scenario is the Mishnah coming to include with that, which needs to be learned out from a combination of the others, rather than, for example, in the Abaya's scenario, Rava might say, you don't really need to learn it from two others, basically it's a type of burr. Similarly, Abaya might say about Rava's case over here, that basically it's a type of burr. So therefore, you don't need a Tzad HaShava in order to learn it. With that said, Rabbeinu Chananel at the end of the sugya brings after that we bring all the Amoroyim, and one of them is Ravina. He says the halacha is like Ravina because he's Basra, because he's the latest of all of these Amoroyim, and we know from Abaya and Rav's times and all, we generally pass him like Basra. So that would imply that according to Rabbeinu Chananel, they're actually arguing on the actual halacha in each of these cases, whether you'd be chayev and who would be chayev exactly. Anyway. So Rava says, if you have Bura Misgalgal, Buragla Odma, Buragla Behema, so you put a rock in Rosh Hashanabim and it never caused any damage over there, then somebody kicked it someplace else in Rosh Hashanabim and there an animal or whatever tripped over it. So again, the Gemara asks, Hei Chidomi, but what's the scenario? Idafgarinu, if he was maskerit, then like we said before, Beim Rav, Beim Shmuel, Hainu Bur. Both Rav and Shmuel would agree that a nezek that you leave in Rosh Hashanabim and your maskir is like Bur. Because as we said, Maishna Bur, Shekem Tchilas Asiyosi L'Nezek, because the beginning of, it was, to begin with, it was made for nezek, because to begin with, a burr is a hazard as soon as you make it. Ushmirase alacha, and you're required to guard it by putting a cover over it or something. Haninami tchila sasiyas on the nezek ushmirase alacha. So why should it be any different? Why do we need a tzada shabbat to learn it when it's clearly a tolda of burr? Ela deloy afterinu. And are you going to say you're talking about you weren't master the rock? Well, like we said before, the Shmuel drama kolam in bur delamadnu hainu bur. Well, still according to Shmuel, it's still going to be considered a bur because Shmuel, we said, doesn't care whether you are mafkir or not. Either way, he says any hezek that you leave in Rishus Rabim that people or animals can trip over is called a bur. So therefore, according to him, it's still bur. And the answer is la'olam dafkirinu. In fact, we are talking about where you were mafkir it. V'loydami la'bur. Still, we could say it's not exactly identical to a bur because malabur shekin mice of gomeloy. Because when it comes to a bur, you have you yourself dug the bur, and your mice directly caused, therefore, that now an animal fell into it and got killed or injured. So how do you compare with this, where it's not his meisim didn't cause it, it's only, because again, as long as this rock was sitting where you originally placed it, nothing happened. Then an animal or a person came and kicked it, and it moved someplace else, and there it caused damage. You can't call that meis of gormoloi. So you're going to say, shur yechiyach. Okay, well, you can prove to the contrary from the shur. You didn't do any meisim. The shur itself went and caused nezek. And you're still chayav. So you would say, mal ashur shekein darker leilachol hazit. The fact is, on the other hand, ashur is often goes and causes damage. Now, it's a fine. We said that keren is a bit of an uncommon kind of damage, but still, whatever kind of damage a shur causes is still more common than a burr. In fact, the Gemara points out later on in the Masechta, really, when you get down to it, if you're a burr b'shus rabim, why should you be chayav in the first place? A person certainly should be careful where they're walking. Even an animal, doesn't an animal notice holes in the ground and stay away from them? And the Gemara talks about it. In fact, you'd have to be talking about, let's say it was at night, or the animal was, blind, or half blind, or whatever, or crazy, or whatever. Yeah. Well, at night is another example. Yeah. So you could argue. So in that sense, a shur is maybe more common and more likely to cause hezek than this moving bird. So bur techiach. So you would prove to the contrary from bur, because the fact is a bur stays in one place and you're still chayav. And again, chozer adin loy reizekiriza. And each one therefore has a unique feature that the other one doesn't have. But what do they both have in common? Atzad hashavah shemhan, as the Mishnah said, shadarkan lahazik v'shmirasan alacha. So therefore, Rava says the Mishnah would be implying that in this case you're also chayav by a combination of shur and bur. So the scenario would be you put a rock in Rishus Rabim, you were master it. Later on, somebody went and kicked that rock and moved that rock someplace else, and it caused damage. So you're going to be chayev on the grounds of a combination of shur and bur. And again, you'd have the same machlokas rishonim. Does that mean that the dinim, the unique dinim of shur and bur would apply to it? So would we say, for example, that the first three times you're only paying chatzi nezek, like shur, and that you're potter for people being injured by it, like bur? Or would we say basically it's like bur, and we're only bringing in shur because of this little issue of mice of gormu loy or not? Now, Rashi mentions that when Rava first brings up this point of bur hamisgalgal, Rashi says there were manuscripts of the Gemara that had the words similar to what we had by Avnei Sakinei Masoi, where the Gemara asked, what's the scenario? Are we talking about where they damaged while they're moving, or are we talking, in other words, that somebody kicked the rock and it banged into something else and injured it, or are we talking about that it causes damage only after it's sitting over there and somebody trips over it? Rashi says we're not gurus that. We're only gurus the question of whether you were mafkir or not. And Tosfos explains that Rashi's point is based on the idea that if you're going to say that it caused damage while it was moving, then you're going to have like this. If a person kicks it, you can't be machayev of the person who kicked it, because the Gemara talks about later on in the Masechta, ain't darkon shabonei adam leis bon bedrachim. People don't always have to notice exactly where they're walking. A person knows he's going someplace, he's not necessarily looking out for hazards that he shouldn't kick. So therefore, you can't be machayev of him for kicking it. as far as the person who put the rock over there in the first place, it's a matter of, you would say, if anything, you would consider it like Ruach Mitzuya, which would be similar to Eish, like we said before. So therefore, that's what Tosfos explains. That's why Rashi doesn't want to have those words in the Gemara. However, Tosfos says that no, you could actually say that what the Gemara means is that the one who actually kicked it might be chayev if it caused damage while it's flying in the air, because that would, even though it's true, ain't dakin from an adam leis burning bedrachim, people don't always have to look where they're going, but you don't expect a person to be walking with such force that he's going to kick things around in the chesed adam. Ain't dakin from an adam leis burning bedrachim means, let's say, you're walking along, somebody had previously placed, the example in the third paragraph is, let's say, somebody had previously placed barrels in the street, and you bang into them, and you knock them over and break them, so you're not chayev because ain't dakin from an adam leis burning bedrachim. But to go to the extent where you're going to kick the thing and send it flying, and it's going to fly into something else and cause injury, that we can be mechayev of the person who was megalgal. So Tosfos says in the Gemara, we could keep those words in the Gemara. And the Gemara would be asking, in that case, though, the point is, you who put the rock there are not necessarily going to be chayev. The one who kicked it, if anything, is going to be chayev. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this point. Sometimes you do have. We're going to have examples later on in the Masechta where you have a joint ownership of it, not really a joint ownership, but a joint responsibility for the nezek. Where you have an example we're going to have later on in the Masechta. For example, you dug a burger shoset abin. So here, Reuven dug a burger in shoset abin. That Shimon's ox is walking by, and Levi's ox pushes Shimon's ox, and it falls into the burger. So who's chayev for the damage? So it's a combination of Reuven and Levi. Reuven because without the bow there wouldn't have been damage, and Levi because without his ox pushing, then Shimon's ox wouldn't have fallen in. So in a similar vein, Tosfos talks about over here that sometimes you can have this kind of thing as well. If you have, for example, if you have two people that are involved in a nezek, then sometimes you can have both of them shared jointly or proportionately in the amount of hezek. We're going to have examples of that later. Anyway, the point is, Rav is saying this is another example of something that's mentioned that's not explicitly one of the obvious nezikin, and in fact, you have to learn it from a combination, in this case, of bur and shur, and still yuchayim. Rav Ada Ba'ava on the last suyaha. Rav Ada Ba'ava says the Mishnah with the words atzada shavashav and shadak and mahazik is coming to include another case. We learn in a Gitanya, we learn in a Braisa, kol elu sha'omru. All the following that the Chachamim said, now like this, normally, of course, you're not allowed to cause a hazard in Rosh Hashanah Abim. You're not allowed to dig a burr in Rosh Hashanah Abim and not cover it. You're not allowed to put a rock in Rosh Hashanah Abim that people or animals can trip over. But the Braisa is going to say there are cases where the Chachamim do give you permission to cause a hazard in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Namely, poskin bibesehen, you have people who open up their drain pipes and let them drain out into Rosh Hashanah. So you have exactly that. You have a biv is another word for a tsinor, so it's a pipe that brings water, that brings wastewater out of your house, and you're directing it out to Rosh Hashanah to let it spill out. Like you have the rain gutters that come off people's roofs or whatever. The gurfin ma'orisehen, you also have an example that people have a cave which contains water. We have throughout Shas, we have bur shiach ma'ora. A ma'ora is where you have a water pit that's roofed over. And so you have over time dirt and whatever collects in there, and every so often you have to clean it out, and where you're gonna put that zevel, where you're gonna put that dirt and filth and whatever that came to it, you're gonna put it out in Rosh Hashanah. So be most hama in my Rosh Hashanah. During the summertime, when the roads are dry, you have no Rosh Hashanah to do that. The roads are dry, they're free of obstacles, you have no business creating an obstacle in Rosh Hashanah. But during the winter time, the roads are all wet and muddy anyway, so you're not really adding anything extra by adding your wastewater over there. So therefore you have rishus. But the Braisa continues, afa pisha b'rishus, even though you do have rishus, im hizviku chayav m'shalim, if they cause hezek, if somebody does slip in your water or whatever, you will be chayav to pay. And there is, in fact, a machlokas aposkim. Do we say that once you've spilled out that water, you're actually responsible to sit there and make sure that nothing happens until it dries up? You have the Lavush holds that yes, the Smeh holds that no. Anyway, the point is that, so now like this, Hechi Domi. So what's the, so again, let's figure out what's the scenario. If the water is causing damage as it's flowing, so in other words, you have your pipe putting out water into Rosh Hashanah, and as the water is coming out, it splashes on somebody and makes their clothes dirty or whatever. Then that would be considered his koyach, because that would be considered his koyach, just like we talked about the other day, for example, if you open up a gate in a dam and water comes pouring out, for example, you could have, it talks about Sanhedrin, where a person does that and the water directly floods somebody and kills him, then that would be considered koychoy, it's directly his koyach, and in that case, he'd be chayev misa, in our case, he'd be chayev for the nezek. Ella Bosa Denayach, so you're talking about after the water landed in the street, later on somebody came by and tripped. Well, Hechi Domi. Again, what's the scenario? Idafkirinu, if you were master that water, like we said before, Bein L'Rab, Bein L'Shmuel, Hainu Bur, then we already established both Rab and Shmuel are going to agree that that's a Bur. Maishna Bur, Chilas Asiyos L'Nezek, because after all, what's unique about a Bur? It's first made for Nezek. To begin with, when you make it, you have the hazard there. Unlike, we said, all the other Ovis Malachas, when you have a Shur, it's not an immediate Hezek, only if the Shur decides to cause Hezek. Fire also, only if the wind carries it. Bur is unique among them, that Tchilas Asiyos of the Nezek. The very beginning, when you made it, you already have a hazard over there. And it's your mom, and then therefore you have to guard it. Haninami Tchilas Asiyos of the Nezek, Umamoincha, Ushmirasa Elacha. Ela Deloy Akirinu. Well, then are you talking about if you weren't master it, well again, well again, according to Shmuel, who says, regardless, we're learning from Burr, then according to him, this water that you drained out into Rosh Hashanah, and now somebody came and tripped over it, is going to be considered a Burr. So you're going to be chayim. So again, where do we need a Tzad HaShava to say that you'd be chayim? And the answer is, in fact, we are talking about you were master of the water, but still, you could still say it's not exactly like a burr, because with a burr, when you first dig it, you have no reshus to be making a burr in Rosh Hashanah. Now, Tosfos points out that you could have a case where a person to begin with is making a burr in Rosh Hashanah with reshus. You have, for example, later on in the sefer, we're going to talk about what? Let's say, for example, yeah, you could have where a person is digging a pit for the sake of the rabbim, and then he has permission to do it. Nevertheless, Tosfos says he doesn't have permission to be mafkir it then. So that would still be considered that that's his responsibility. Instead of being mafkir it, he should be putting a solid cover over it. So therefore, we can still call it that it was shaloi b'rashus, toima b'hani d'b'rashus. So how do you compare to these, where after all you have reshus? The Chachamim told you that you can have your drain pipe drain out to Rosh Hashanah because it's the winter time anyway and the roads are all muddy. So therefore it's not exactly like Bur. Then you would say Shur Yechiyah. Okay, well you could prove to the contrary from Shur, because Shur, you have reshus, you not only you have reshus to own a Shur, your Shur is allowed to walk in Rosh Hashanah, and yet, if your shur causes damage of any kind, then you're chayev. So we see it doesn't matter whether we're shur or not, but you can say, ma'ala shur, shur, can dauke leilach ala hazik. On the other hand, a shur moves from one place to another and causes damage, whereas this bur that you created with the water in Rosh Hashanah is not. And you would say, bur techiach, b'chazer adin, so you prove from bur that nevertheless you're chayev, and again you go back and forth, and there's your tzad HaShava. So there's another example of what the Mishnah means at Tzad HaShava Shebehen, that you'd be chayev in this case only because of a combination of the dinim of bur and shur. Tosfos points out, now among the things we said before that shur includes, one thing we said that shur includes shin, where the animal, or shur includes regal rather, shur includes regal where the animal tramples on something and damages it. Now, regal does not apply in Rosh Hashanah. In fact, it applies only b'rishus ha-nizik. Shein also, for that matter. They only apply. We talked about the Shusan Nizek, that only if the animal went into somebody else's property and trampled or ate or whatever, are you chayim. So in that case, what do you mean Birshus? You have no right for your shur to go into somebody else's property in the first place. Tosfa says, fine. But let's say the animal is walking in Rosh Hashanah Abin and it kicks up the and kicks up pebbles, tzurus that we talked about the other day, and they fly into Rosh Hashanah Yochid and cause damage. Your shur had every right to walk in Rosh Hashanah Abin. Still, the damage was took place in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and your chayev. So therefore, we can say that you have an example where your shur is acting birushus and still it caused damages of regal or shein and your chayev. So therefore, we can still say that shur is called birushus in the sense that you had the right to own the shur, and you had the right for your shur to walk in Rosh Hashanah Abin, and still you chayev for any consequences from it. Okay. Ravina Omar, Ravina says here is a fourth thing that we can say that we learned from the Tzad HaShavah in our Mishnah. Vasui Hodetnan. It comes to include this that we learn actually at the end of Bava Metzia. If a wall or a tree that belonged to somebody fall into Rosh Hashanah Abin, v'hiziku, and they cause damage, and again, we're going to talk about in a minute whether we're talking about they damaged as they're falling or whether we're talking about they damaged after they're lying over there in the street. Anyway, if they fell into Rosh Hashanah Abin, v'hiziku, and they caused hezek, potter melashalem, the owner of the wall or of the tree, at that point is potter from paying because he didn't yet know that the tree or the wall is dangerous. So therefore, Tosfos brings a girsa that says he would be chayev, but Tosfos says no. It's one thing if they warned him, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, but if they didn't warn him that this tree or this wall is in danger of falling, then you can't be chayev him at all. It would be an onus. So Tosfos prefers the girsa, which Rashi and the Rif also have, which is that he's potter in that case. However. It continues the Mishnah. Nosnovai Zman Lokot is Ilan Ballister is a Kosel. If Beistin gave him a certain deadline by which he has to cut down the tree or tear down the wall, so in other words, it was known to be a dangerous one, it was known to be an unstable tree or an unstable wall, and they told him you have X amount of time to remove it, and he didn't. So then the Soicha the Noflu, and then they fell down. The Noflu, the Soichazman, they fell within that deadline, the Hiziku, when they caused damage, also Potter. Then he'd also be Potter because, again, the fact is, they told him he has X number of days to remove it, so therefore he figured, and based on obviously he's not going to stand, make up a random number. They're going to figure how much time it takes to hire workers and to get the thing arranged. So therefore, if it happened during that time, it's still onus, and he'd still be Potter. La'achar Zman Chayev. But if it's after the time, then he's chayev because by that time he should have removed it. So now we have to consider. So now Ravina is saying this would be another example of a hezek that you need a tzad hashavah. So again, I'm going to ask Heichidomi. Well, why? What's the scenario? Eid afkara. If we're talking about that before the wall or the tree ever fell, he was mafkir them. And now they fell down. Well, again, bein l'rab, bein l'shmol, hayinu bur. Well, again, wouldn't that be exactly the case of a bur? Maishna bur dehezekei matzir shmerasei alacha. A bur very commonly causes damage, and you're responsible to make sure that it doesn't. Hani nami hezekei matzir or shmerasei alacha. So therefore, so you'd be chayiv on the grounds of bur alone. If again, in the scenario we're talking about where Beistin gave you 30 days, let's say, to chop it down, and you didn't do it during the 30 days. Instead, you decided, you know what, I'm just going to be mad to it. And then when it falls down, it's not my problem anymore. Well, then you've created a bird. And in fact, Tosfos says, you know, when he planted the tree, it wasn't considered a tree after all. He has every right to plant a tree. But once they told him that he needs to chop down the tree, then at that point he's considered a pesheya. So this is the equivalent of mafkir nechasav la'acha nefilas pshia. We're going to talk about later on in the Masechta. You can have an example, let's say, where a person is walking in Rosh Hashanah Abin carrying something. He fell down ba'onus, for example, he tripped over a hazard that somebody else previously left there, and then he drops his thing and it becomes a new hazard of its own. So then if he's masculine, then we can talk about it. He's potter because to begin with, when he fell, when that hazard of his was created, it was ba'onus, and therefore he has the right to be masculine, and we can't necessarily hold him responsible for that. So in other words, let's say he's walking down the street. holding a glass jar. He trips over another hazard in Rosh Hashanah, and he drops the glass and it breaks. Not if he's mafkir those glass shards, not necessarily is he going to be chayev for anybody else that gets injured by the glass. Because to begin with, the bur was created ba'oinus. He didn't mean to trip. It was ba'oinus, and he was mafkir it after that. So that would be fine. Here though, Tosfos says on the other hand, if he dropped it b'pshia, then sure he's chayev whether he was mafkir or not. So here, since they told him he needs to chop down the tree and he didn't, then that's considered pshia. Therefore, even if he was mafkir the tree before it ever fell, that would he'd still be chayev for it. So if he's mafkir it, then that's exactly the case of bur. Tosfos also deals with the case. Are we talking about that they damaged as they're falling? Or are we talking about they damaged only after they fell and somebody tripped over them? Now, on the face of it, while they're falling, we should say, like we said before, that would be like ish. That would be the dinim of fire. But Tosfos discusses on various grounds that not necessarily would that be so. Here we wouldn't necessarily compare it to fire, and in fact there could be cases even where he would be potter, namely that he didn't know, let's say, that it fell down, and if we didn't clear it away right away. But Eish, on the other hand, is, again, there's Koyach Acham Ura Boy, whereas here there's not. Here all there is gravity made it fall. There's no Koyach Acha really to talk about, so therefore it can't really be similar to Eish. Anyway. So again, if he was mafkir, then it's like bur. Ega loy afkirinu. And if he was not mafkir the tree or the wall before it fell down, well, again, l'shmol d'amakulam mibur l'manu hainu bur. Still, wouldn't it be considered a bur? Just like Shmuel says, that it doesn't matter whether you're mafkir or not. So again, why do we need a tzad ha-shava to learn that you're chayiv in that case? And the answer is l'olam d'afkirinu. In fact, you can say you were mafkir it. Still, v'lo domi l'bur, you can still say it's not exactly like a bur. Malam bur, shekin tchilas hasiyos of the nezek, because a bur, to begin with, is made for nezek. Again, as soon as you make it, you have a hazard. Terem b'hani, shekin tchilas hasiyos of the nezek. Here, when it comes to the tree or the wall, when you first planted the tree or the wall, they weren't made for nezek. So therefore, you can't learn it exclusively from Burr, but you would answer that Shur Yechiyach. Well, prove to the contrary from Shur, where it's also not Tchilas Asiyos in the Nezek, and you're still Chayev, because to begin with, the Shur is not hazardous. But you would say, Mala Shur Shekein Dauke Leila Cholahazik. On the other hand, the Shur moves and causes damage. And you would say, Burr Techiyach, and you prove to the contrary from Burr, which stays in one place and causes damage. And again, Bechazer Adin, you go back and forth, and you have the Tzad HaShogah. So that's another example, says Ravina, where you have a type of hezek where you only know he's chayav by a combination of two ovis nizikim. So we have four examples. Like that. Again, Rabbeinu Hananel seems to understand that the Amoraim are actually arguing with each other on the halacha, and therefore he says the halacha would be like Ravina. And according to many other Rishonim, they're not actually arguing. Each one is just giving a different parallel scenario where you need a tzad hashava to learn it from. And again, is that negeya that we would say, therefore, the dinim of both others apply to it, or would we say basically the din of the main av applies to it, and we only have the second one in order to finish the tzad hashava, that itself would be a machlokas as well. So in this last example over here, if we're learning from a combination of bor and shur, does that mean that it has the coolest of shur that it only applies that he only pays chatzi nezek the first few times, or would we say that not? It's basically considered like bur, and you don't have that kula, and so forth. Okay, we said in the Mishnah kshehizik chov hamazik. We said when the nezek has been caused, then the mazik, the one who caused the hezek, whichever kind it is chayav to pay. So the Gemara asks, Chov HaMazik, why is the expression Chov, shouldn't it say Chayev HaMazik? The usual expression is Chayev, that he's obligated to pay. Now, Tosfos points out there are actually two different related concepts over here. You have the concept of Chiyuv, and you have the concept of Choyva. Chiyuv means you mean an obligation. Choyva means a detriment. So when you have, for example, you have the expression in chovin la'odim shaloi b'fonav, then you can talk about that. Then there's no problem using the word chov. The Gemara doesn't ask why we don't say in chayovin la'odim shaloi b'fonav, because the word chayev is not chayev over there. It's chov. It's a detriment. Same thing, b'makom shechav la'achedim, when a person owes money to somebody else. But here, the Gemara is bothered by that the expression should be chayev, he's obligated to pay. And instead, why is it saying chav, which implies that he has a debt to pay? And the answer is, Amr of Yehuda, that's what it is. Chav really means a debt. Chayev means an obligation. So they're very similar, but why is the Mishnah using the lashon of a debt rather than an obligation? And the answer is, Amr of Yehuda, Hi Tana Yerushalmi. The Tana of our Mishnah came from Yerushalayim. The Tani Lishna Kalila, he uses a shorter Lashon. So in his style of Lashon Kodesh, they would use the word Chav for both of these kinds of things. They tell a cute story in this connection with the Rogachover. The Rogachover, as we know, one of the things he kocht in a lot was the Yerushalmi. So one time he was also one of the two rabbonim of the city of Dvinsk. He had the city of Dvinsk. There were chassidim and there were non-chassidim. The rov of Chavu was the rov of the chassidim in the city, and then the Ur Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha, was the rov of the non-chassidim in the city. And they both got along, both kehilas got along, but each one had their rov that follows their respective shittis and halacha and so forth. Anyway. The story goes, one time two Jews come to the Rogachover for din Torah or something. The Rogachover at that point is in the middle of working out a difficult Yerushalmi, and then he says, you know, I don't really have time for you right now. I don't have the head for that. I'm busy with this. So they leave and they go to Rav Meir Simcha and they tell him what happened. And Rav Meir Simcha says, you know, you have exactly what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara over here is saying that the Tana is a Yerushalmi, and therefore what happens is instead of Chayav, he has Chav, meaning that he left out two Yuds. Well, he says the same thing. The Rogachover was in the middle of a Yerushalmi, and therefore he left out two Yudin.
Oh,
he left out two Yudin, and he said, "I can't have you over here." And, yeah. Anyway, little Milsa de Bdichas over here. Okay. Anyway, going on, the Gemara says, "L'shalom tashlumin nezik." Now we said, what is the person? What is the mazik chayev? He has to pay. He has to pay for the nezik. And the Mishnah said he has to pay b'meitav ha'aretz. He has to pay from the best of his land. So now we're going to get into talking about today and continue tomorrow about Be'ez Hashem, what this business is, what we mean exactly. It's going to go into Daf Ches, actually dealing with the details of what it means to pay for meitav. So Tana Rabbanan. Now the pasuk says like this: meitav sadehu or meitav tamei yishalim. So the pasuk describes that when a person causes damage of shein or rego, when his animal goes and eats and grazes in somebody else's field or eats his fruit or whatever, or when his animal goes into somebody else's field and tramples. So we said the pasuk says meitav sadehu or meitav tamei yishalim. He has to pay the best of his field or the best of his vineyard. So the best of whose? Meitav sadehu shal nizek or meitav tamei shal nizek divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it means that he has to pay according to the best of the field or the vineyard of the nizik. Now, it sounds like Rabbi Shmuel means that regardless, you're always having to pay the value of the best quality land. In other words, it sounds like, and the Gemara is going to ask about this in a second, it sounds like Rabbi Shmuel was saying, if your animal went to somebody else's property and ate the, and then grazed over there, even if the area that it grazed in was not Idis, was not the best quality, you're going to be required to pay as though it had eaten in an area of Idis, which the Gemara is going to ask about that in a minute. What's the logic of that? Anyway, Rabbi Akiva says no. Loi bar akosiv elo ligvus l'nizok in mina Idis. The pasuk is only coming to tell us that a nizik, that a person who was damaged by a nezik, the victim of the nezik, that he receives from Idis, but kavachoyma lehektish, and a kavachoyma that hektish gets from Idis. What he means by hektish, we're going to talk about at the end of the Amud. We'll learn about it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But the point is now what exactly is Rabbi Akiva saying? Obviously, Rabbi Akiva is arguing somehow with Rabbi Shmuel, but what exactly is the nature of their argument? So that we have to figure out. So Rabbi Shmuel, oh, Shmena, Mashalim Shmena. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we can understand if the animal ate in a portion of the field which was very fat and very, very fertile, then sure, you have to pay that equivalent amount. So it ate the grass or whatever, the produce that was growing in an area of the field where all of that would have been worth $100 and now it's not, then therefore you have to pay $100. Fine, we can understand that easily enough. But is it logical that if it went and ate from a weaker portion of the field, you should have to pay the value of a shmena? Why? You only caused $70 worth of damage. Why are you having to pay $100? In fact, Tosfos says there are actually two ways that you can understand the question. You could say, what's the logic that he should have to pay more? You could say, another way of looking at it is, if the animal eats shemena, what are you paying? Exactly as much as it's worth. So what's the logic that if it ate kosher, you should have to be paying more than it's worth? If you're not making him pay more by shemena, why are you making him pay more by kosher? And the answer is, the scenario would be the animal went and ate in one plot of land in the field among a whole bunch of others. You don't know what was the nature of what was growing over there. Was it kosher or was it shmeina? So he ate, well, the point is, we're not going to say he ate the whole thing up. But let's say, for example, that you have, imagine, for example, let's say, you could have a simple scenario. You could have Reuven's and Shimon's and Levi's animals went in there, and each one grazed in a different area, and now you don't know which one did Reuven damage and which one did Shimon damage and so forth. So then you would say, then Rabbi Shmuel would be saying, Demashalim Shmena, then you're going to make him pay for Shmena, because we have to assume that maybe it was. But Rav Amar Rava, what do you mean? Ma Ilya Dinin Chusha Achal. What do you mean? If you knew for a fact that he had eaten from a chusha, from a weaker one, Loy Meshalom Elak Chusha, then for sure you would make him pay only a chusha, because there's no logic to say that he would have to pay more. You're telling me that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that if he ate, that if you're not sure, then you make the owner of the animal pay for a shmena. Why? Just the opposite. You want to say that you should be paid for a shmena. You have to prove that my animal is the one that ate the shmena. And you can't prove that, then it's not my problem. So how can Rabbi Shmuel possibly mean that? So before we get to the answer, Tosfos points out, now what made the Gemara misunderstand Rabbi Shmuel so much? What makes us even think that Rabbi Shmuel would think that there could be a scenario where Ochal Kosher Meshalim Shmena? And the answer is, because since Rabbi Akiva is, what is Rabbi Akiva saying? He doesn't explicitly say how he's arguing with Rabbi Shmuel. But what he says is, Loi ba'a kosov ela ligbus the nizikin min idis. The pasuk is only coming to tell you that a nizik gets paid out of idis. Now, what does that imply? Says Tosfos, that Rabbi Akiva understands Rabbi Shmuel to mean that not only is the Torah saying that a nizik gets idis, but that a nizik maybe even gets more than than the actual amount of the damage. Therefore, the Gemara assumes that that's what Rabbi Shmuel means, because that seems to be how Rabbi Akiva understood it, and therefore how he reacts. That no, Loy Ba'a Kosev, the pasuk is only coming to tell us that the payment is done out of idis, but not that he gets more than what he was than the damage. Therefore, the Gemara was thinking to try to find a scenario where Rabbi Shmuel would say he actually gets more. But so far, we said we can't seem to find such a case. The Netziv, by the way, points out a very interesting thing. He says, why does the Gemara use the example over here of Ochal Shmena? Why not just say more generically Hizik Shmena? You could equally talk about where the animal went into the field and trampled one area of the field. And he says, because what did we say in the Gemara? Reb Idiba Oven was suggesting that there might be a case where you might have to pay for Shmena because you're not sure whether it was Chosha or Shmena. Now, if it was a matter of regal, if it was a matter of the animal trampling, even Rabbi Idiba Oven would not hold that you have to do that. Because what's the logic? Why should we assume that the animal trampled Shmena more than Kosher? When it comes to eating, though, we're more likely to assume the animal is more likely to be attracted to the Shmena than to the Kosher. Therefore, there might be a logical basis to say that we should assume that your animal ate the Shmena and you're responsible. And Rava says, no, the fact is, I'm Motzi Mechaver El Avaraya.
The animal
won't know the dollar difference, obviously, but it's going to know. It's going to see that these are healthier and stronger and fatter or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. El Omer of Achav Yaakov Hochav Mayaskinan. The scenario, what we mean, weirder to be small and about to argue, would be to go and show idis the nizik kiziburis the mazik. Suppose that the mazik owns property, but the best quality of his is the other way around. Both the nizik and the mazik own property. The best quality land of the nizik is only equivalent to the ziburis of the mazik. Meanwhile, the mazik has much better fields. So now the question is, what does he have, if he's paying with land, which kind of land does he have to pay out of? So v'hal pligi, Rabbi Shmuel sava b'dinizik sheminin. Rabbi Shmuel says we go according to the nizik. Therefore, so the nizik's best land, his idis is something that's worth $100 an acre. I, the Mazik, has land that's worth $200 an acre, doesn't matter. He can pay it with land that's worth only 100 an acre, even though for him it's Ziburis, because for the Nizik it's Idis. Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, when he says loy bar kosev el ligris the nizakim in idis, he means that no, regardless, the nizak always has to get the idis, meaning the idis of the mazik. So he's going to understand. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say meitav sadeo meitav pami yishalem means you, the mazik, have to pay in accordance with the meitav sadeo or meitav pami of the nizak. So you have to figure out what is the most expensive kind of land that the Nizak owns, and that kind of land is what you have to give. Even though for you, that's your worst quality land. But on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva is saying that no, it means Meitav Sadeh or Meitav Karmel. So Mazik means that you, the Mazik, have to take your best land and give him an appropriate amount of it. Obviously, though, it's going to be, if this land is where, if you have land that's $100 versus $200 an acre, and the hezek was $200, then obviously you're going to be giving twice as much of Ziburis as you would of Idis. So the dollar value is always going to be the same, but after all, a person would prefer to have Idis. So that would be the machlokas. Tosfos points out, by the way, it can't be the other way around. You can't say, let's say, that the Mazik only has, that the Mazik's best property is Ziburis relative to the Nizik, then for sure there'd be no argument. Even Rabbi Shmuel would not say that you, the Mazik, are required to go and buy Idis in order to pay the other guy. No, then you're just going to pay with what you have. Your Idis is worth only as much as his Ziburis. That's all you have. So that's all you have. We're going to talk about later on on Zion Amud Beis and Chesam and Aleph. We're going to talk about those scenarios in more detail. You could have a case where the Mazik owns only Ziburis and then he's paying out of Ziburis. The Pasuk says Meitav Sadeho Meitav Tamei. This is your Meitav. Yeah. So therefore, the Gemara had to say the scenario over here, which is that the Nizik's Idis is worth only as much as the Mazik's Ziburis. So now the question is, does the Mazik have to pay out of his own Idis, or is it enough that he pays out of his own Ziburis? That's the Machlokes. So the Gemara says, my time is the Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say we go according to the Nizik's Idis, and therefore according to him, this Mazik gets away with giving his own Ziburis? Because twice in the pasuk you have mention of a field. You have kiyaver ish soder ikerem, a person damages a field or a vineyard by letting his animals in there, and then the pasuk says meitav sadehu or meitav pami yishalem. So therefore, mas soder ha'amilamayla the nizik. The soder in the first half of the pasuk is the soder that belongs to the nizik, because that's where you let your animals loose in. Af soder. Therefore, the one in the second half of the pasuk also has to refer to the one in the nizik. So what does that mean? It means you're paying in accordance with the equivalence of value of the idis of the nizik. If you own Ziburis, doesn't matter. That's what the pasuk is saying. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva answer to that? He says, no, meitav sadeh or meitav kami yishalem means the kami yishalem. The fact is, the pasuk is saying you have to pay from meitav sadeh or meitav kami. Yishalem obviously refers to the mazik. Therefore, meitav sadeh or meitav kami also has to refer to the mazik. Never mind that it says twice sadeh in the pasuk. The fact is, the context of the words sadeh and kami makes it clear. We're talking about the sadeh and kami of the mazik. Rabbi Shmuel, so what does Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? He says, okay, I agree that you have the context of the pasuk, but still the fact is you have the gzeira shavah. So he says, ahani gzeira shavah v'ahani kura. So therefore you have to, both the gzeira shavah and the context of the pasuk are both teaching us something. Ahani gzeira shavah k'tamina. The gzeira shavah accomplishes what we said, that you go according to the nizik. Ahani kura, what are we doing with the context of the pasuk? As you're saying, Rabbi Akiva, would be going to Isra l'mazik idis v'ziburis. Suppose that the Mazik owns Idis and Ziburis, the Idis Lenizik, meanwhile the Nizik owns only Idis, the Ziburis to Mazik, Loy Shavya ki Idis to Nizik. Now suppose the Mazik's Ziburis is not worth as much as the Nizik's Idis. So then, what are we going to say? So if it was worth exactly as much, then Rabbi Shmuel is saying that then that's fine, you can use that. But now that's not worth as much, the Meshalim Lemi Meitav Didei. That, Rabbi Shmuel says, then I agree, he's going to have to pay out of his own Idis. He can't say, you collect from Ziburis, because in this case, you, the Mazik Ziburis, is not worth as much as his Idis. So therefore, Ella Gavri Mimetav. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that's the scenario where the pasuk is saying Mimetav Sadehu or Mimetav Karmi Shalin, that you, the Mazik, have to pay with your Idis. Now, your Idis is worth a lot more than the other guy's Idis. But on the other hand, your Ziburis is not worth as much as his Idis. Therefore, since you can't pay him with Ziburis, you have to pay him with Idis. But if they were equal in value, if your Ziburis was equal to his Idis, then yes, you would be able to pay with your Ziburis, says Rabbi Shmuel. That's what the Kavah Chomer, that's what the Gzeira Shava from the word Sadeh tells us. Okay, so that's the machlokas therefore between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Whether we do that, do we say that you can pay with your Ziburis, or do you always have to pay with your Idis? When we have a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Akiva, and that's how it is over here. So regardless, you're paying, regardless of Rabbi Shmuel's point about the Gzeira Shava and the context of the pasuk, we follow Rabbi Akiva and we say you're always going to have to be paying with your Idis. And then the Gemara is going to deal with, we'll deal with tomorrow, Best Hashem, what Rabbi Akiva means about when he said his statement about Hekdish. And then once we finish that, then we're going to go back to this matter of Idis and Beninus and Ziburis, and we're going to start working out all the details of that, what you pay in each of various scenarios.
Rabbi Shmuel and
Rabbi Akiva were chaver. Oh. They were chaver, and they were eventually both among the Asar Arug and Malchus.
Why do we say that?
We have the concept called Halacha Rabbi Akiva me chaver roi v'loi me chaver rov. When Rabbi Akiva is arguing against one individual Tana, the Halacha is almost always like him. When he's arguing against the Chachamim in general, then not. So here he's arguing against one Tana, Rabbi Shmuel, therefore the Halacha is like him. Okay. Shukriya.